Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz.
Another big conversation we're having on the show tonight is one that we covered last week. You might recall that National Treasury had announced that they are looking to impose a 20% online tax to a lot of South Africans, or rather the businesses that operate within that market of online gambling. That's actually to minimize the level of activity and unforeseen consequences we see given the use of online gambling, should it be used irresponsibly. Tonight we join, though, as a writer of reply and for some perspective from the Safe and Responsible Online Gambling Association. That is Wayne Lurie, who joins us today. Wayne, such a pleasure to have you, and thank you so much for your time, sir.
Sorry, good evening, Gugu. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. I'm aware we've kept you waiting for quite some time because there's been a lot to discuss, but thank you so much for your time, Mr. Lurie. And just to correct your title, the South African Responsible Online Gambling Association, that's the organization you're representing tonight.
No, not quite. It's a Safe and Responsible Online Gaming Association. That's the association that we formed and that I'm currently heading up. My day job is actually a practicing attorney in this industry, but we've seen the need to form an association specifically to deal at this point with the player experience, both in terms of being safe and responsible gambling issues being addressed.
100%. Glad that you mentioned that, and appreciate the fact that you're also an attorney with your own law firm, which is critical because you'll help us navigate the legalese through it all. But maybe let's just start.
Do my best.
Maybe let's just start with your organization, Safe and Responsible Online Gambling. Help us understand the context of what it is you do and how you do it, especially in terms of driving the narrative, but also the culture of safety and responsible gambling.
Right. So this initiative was started by the industry itself as a self-regulation initiative earlier this year, with the intention of combining three very critical tools to assist gamblers that might be exhibiting problems or might feel a little bit overwhelmed, where it's taken on a new form from entertainment to something a bit more than that, maybe something that's viewed as we want to produce income from our gambling behavior, and that's certainly not what the industry wants. They don't want this to be seen as a job or some way to generate emergency income, because that always leads to problems. So if we take a step back, in 2004, when the new National Gambling Act came out, then there was a mandate to the National Gambling Board to create and disseminate a self-exclusion register for any players that found themselves in trouble. And at that stage, we didn't have online gambling as it is today. Mm-hmm. It was largely in terms of terrestrial facilities like casinos, or what were later bingo halls, limited payout machine venues, so that a person could register themselves in this database. The database would be disseminated to all operators. In those days, it still includes a photograph of yourself, your ID book, so that people could ostensibly see who you were when you came in and said, listen, you've signed this document that says you shouldn't be here, you don't want to be here, and we can't admit you. And in fact, the form itself actually subjects you to penalties, you volunteer yourself to penalties if you go in. But you know, this is all academic, because this register has never been effectively rolled out. It's never been effectively managed by National Gambling Board, whose mandate it is. And they are concerning themselves with a whole lot of things that actually fall with the provinces. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. We can talk about the constitutional mandate of the provinces vis-a-vis the National Board later. But getting back to what our association is trying to achieve, it is actually now the industry has become a little bit fed up with waiting for the self-exclusion database. So we're building it. We're building a tool not to usurp what the industry the National Gambling Act prescribes, but to put a more user-friendly, more technologically advanced tool into the hands of gamblers to say, if you want to exclude for a limited period or in toto, infinitely, although there's never such a thing as infinite, there's always ways, I guess, to get yourself off through a program or something. We can put that tool in your hands together with two other very important tools. The one is counseling. So right now, our association provides free counseling, in addition to what the very good work that the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation do. But third and most importantly, what we're really quite optimistic about is to create an association between all the major operators where they recognize limits as being universally applicable across all of them. So,
Based on the technology you use from your banking apps and where you actually use this money to transact and gamble online, or would it be restricted to the particular platform you're using?
Okay, so it's definitely a simpler, it's not going to involve the banks per se, but the trouble with what you've described latterly there is that if you just limit yourself to one platform, what typically could happen is you have a big loss on a particular evening, maybe to say a Saturday night, you've set yourself a limit on that platform of R1,000, and then you go to a competitor and you max out your credit card for R3,000 with that competitor. So what we actually are building, the infrastructure we're building, I don't want to get too technologically involved tonight, both for, you know, time limitations and, of course, because it's technology in progress. What we're building is a platform where all the operators have a view of that person's limits without them actually seeing the limits. Because if you tell the operator what their limit is, then of course the operator knows I can get that out of Google, right?
Ah,
but if you give them a flag, like let's say a yes or a no, then of course they'll see that there's a problem here and they shouldn't be accepting that particular deposit. We, of course, have a sort of system that will then talk to the player and say, look, you said you want to only spend 1,000. You've already spent 800. You've gone to the next operator to try and buy 300. Try your purchase again within your own self-set limit. And that's what we're driving toward. And we feel that these three pillars together in a sort of appified environment, because, of course, everyone that's engaging in the online space is in that environment already, right? So we feel putting that in the hands of the punter or gambler mm-hmm. is going to actually hopefully mitigate what is becoming, you know, a growing responsible gambling problem.
Got you. This is so important that you've actually provided this context, Wayne, because it helps us then understand your positioning regarding National Treasury's proposal for a 20% tax on online gambling platforms.
Indeed.
What say you about this? Is it the right move?
Right. Absolutely not. Okay. And let's just break that down. First of all, from a constitutional and legal perspective, and this is where I put on my hat, how is it, in simple terms, that you can have a national tax on something that's not nationally legislated? Right now, there is no concept of a licensed online gambling operator in the sense of the offshore illegal casinos that many people play with.
So what does that mean? Just operators.
Yeah, what there is in terms of the operators that we see is they are licensed bookmakers at a provincial level who are taking fixed odds bets on the outcome of a contingency. And that's all within the legal framework in the National Gambling Act itself. So while it appears, and they do, of course, provide games that are contingencies in the strict sense of the law under bookmaker's license, these games do appear often to be what we call casino-style games, but they are not online casinos. So what's essentially being rolled out here is a national tax to say, well, a proposal of a national tax to say, we intend to tax online gambling in toto, ignoring and sidestepping the fact that provinces have a constitutional mandate in terms of Schedule 4, read with Section 179, to license bookmakers and other gambling activities within their own borders. And they do it with a tax. So currently, an operator, a bookmaker in a province, let's say Western Cape or Mpumalanga, mm-hmm. Which are the major licensors of this activity,
yes.
It's a 6.5% tax. So just let's round it down.
So not the 18, if I'm not mistaken, because a provincial tax as well regarding 18.
No, I'll tell you where that comes from. It's very simple. What happens, and I was about to get to this, what happens is the operator immediately absorbs the VAT. The punter doesn't know it. We don't know when we go and place a 10 rand bet on, you know, this team to beat that team, that the punter's already paying the VAT the operator's already paying the VAT for the punter at a rate of 15%, because that's the VAT rate. Mm-hmm. So that's 1.50 rand on a 10 rand bet that you don't see or even comprehend that they're paying on your behalf and absorbing. So they're already paying a 15% tax. The tax is VAT. On top of that, they pay the 6.5% tax. Call it six for round numbers, like I said. Mm-hmm. There is a sort of reckoning to be done on the VAT that it doesn't quite. It dilutes down slightly from the 15%, but let's just give it a round number of the 15 and the 6 of 20, which is very close to where it should be. And then you've got this proposal now, that national layer on 20%. Now you have a 40% tax on an operator before he's paid income tax. Mm-hmm. It just becomes unsustainable. And what it's almost certainly going to do, if they succeed in layering this tax on top of it, if they aren't challenged in terms of the constitutionality by the provinces, if there isn't a major outcry from the stakeholders and, you know, everyone else, what they're going to achieve is to crumble the industry or drive it offshore, one or the other. And both of those are not going to be favorable outcomes for the South African population, because then they're going to be left. And of course, there's always going to be a desire for it. The cat's out of the bag. It's an evolution of technology. Online gaming is here to stay. And what punters are going to seek to do is to look at the offshore operators in islands, in the Caribbean, in Eastern Europe, in various places around the world, where these operators sit, the illegal operators, the real, genuinely illegal operators. And there's absolutely no way, and forgive me for being cynical about it, that we're going to be able to long arm and bring these operators to account in South Africa, whether it's to pay tax or to, you know, stand trial before the law in terms of illegal gambling. Neither of those two things, I believe, are feasible.
Got you. Wayne, you've explained this so well, and for us to actually be, you know, be mindful of considering many of the other themes that are at play here, including the VAT, the provincial taxes, and of course, where an illicit market might then actually thrive as a consequence of this additional tax. There's many layers to it, and we definitely want to have you back on the show to help us further expand on safe and responsible gambling, given the innovations that you're putting forward. But thank you kindly for your time this evening, sir. We will be sure to follow up on this conversation.
Thank you. It was lovely to be with you, and I'll gladly come back. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Wayne Lurie, who is the head of Safe and Responsible Gambling in South Africa, helping us fully understand their response to National Treasury's attempts or recommendations for a 20% tax, national tax, on all online gambling platforms. Share your thoughts, 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz.